In the Old Testament, we learn that he was the maddest man for sin and iniquity. But God stopped him. And here again, Zacchaeus. He is one of the outstanding, notorious, materialistic men in society. And here is the Lord stopping him. What a wonderful salvation this is. And surely this is the story of every one of God's converts. I chose him because he first loved me. And in my madness, and in my career of following the world, something happened. The Lord intervened and brought us to faith.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we have a very full program today. We have a word from the Lord from Psalm 139, verse 10. That's at the very close of the program. Our main message from the pulpit of our church is the conversion of Zacchaeus, that wee little man that climbed up a tree to look and see if the Lord he could see. And today that's our message. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. We'll be giving you our website announcements and how you can be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak. Our hymn today is Just As I Am, that great gospel message. And sinner, we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus just as you are, a lost, needy soul, in need of mercy and in need of God's grace to your heart. And if we can be of personal help to you, we look forward to hearing from you and we'll be delighted to take the time to show you the way of God's salvation. Yes, you can be saved today. There is power in Jesus' name, power in Jesus' blood to wash your sins away. Guilt, shame, iniquity are dealt with at the foot of the cross when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And so we invite you to the cross today, and we trust the Lord will work in grace in your heart. Our question and answer today is, how can we best use the book of Psalms? Every mature Christian will tell of their own personal experience and use of the book of Psalms. I haven't yet met a mature Christian of all stripes and backgrounds, denomination, affiliation, who does not love the book of Psalms. I've even met strong dispensationalists who wrongly believe that the Old Testament is of limited use to the New Testament Christian, and they are also totally in love with the book of Psalms. And so this is a bit of the contradiction. They tell us that the Old Testament is no longer pertinent to the New Testament Christian, and yet for their devotional comfort and strength, they use the book of Psalms. And no doubt, they find great comfort and strength from applying the Psalms to their own hearts and their daily walk with the Lord. I want to let Matthew Henry elaborate on this question from his commentary. And he says, there is no one book of Scripture that is more helpful to the devotions of the saints than this. And it has been so in all ages of the church, ever since it was written and the several parts of it were delivered to the chief musician for the service of the church. It is of use to be sung. Further than David's psalms we may go, but we need not for hymns and spiritual songs. What the rules of the Hebrew meter were, even the learned are not certain. But these psalms ought to be rendered according to the meter of every language, at least so as that they may be sung for the edification of the church. And methinks it a great comfort to us when we are singing David's psalms, that we are offering the very same praises to God that were offered to him in the days of David and the other godly kings of Judah. So rich, so well made, are these divine poems that they can never be exhausted, can never be worn threadbare. It is of use to be read and opened by the ministers of Christ as containing great and excellent truths and rules concerning good and evil. Our Lord Jesus expounded the Psalms to his disciples, the Gospel Psalms, and opened their understanding, for he had the key of David to understand them. It is of use to be read and meditated upon by all good people. It is a full fountain, out of which we may all be drawing water with joy. The psalmist's experience are of great use for our direction, caution, and encouragement in telling us, as he often does, what passed between God and his soul. He lets us know what we may expect from God and what he will expect and require graciously accept from us. David was a man after God's own heart, and therefore those who find themselves in some measure according to his heart have reason to hope that they are renewed by the grace of God after the image of God, and many have much comfort in the testimony of their consciences for them that they can heartily say amen to David's prayers and praises. One of the most godly men that I've ever met in the Christian ministry had the practice of every morning reading and praying through one of the Psalms. It is a good practice, a practice that I've adopted myself from time to time. And here you have not only truth, but you have passion. Not only do you have what God says, but you have men's responses to God's truth. And thereby we learn the heartbeat of God himself and the heartbeat of the godly. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program here today, and I trust you'll stay tuned with us as we get to our message, Zacchaeus, that wee little man the Lord came to seek and to save. And so stay tuned with us as we bring the message of God's word today. Now the hymn, Just As I Am. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast, and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gallagher. It is a privilege to bring you the message of the gospel today, and we're turning to Luke chapter 19, the conversion of Zacchaeus. There was a wee little man climbing up a tree, and Jesus said, "Come down, for today I'm coming to your house for tea." Oh, that's our little children's chorus, and we want you to know today the invitation of the gospel where the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today.
Luke 19 and the conversion of Zacchaeus. If you were to go back into chapter 18, the Lord Jesus had said there that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. But with God, all things are possible. And then we have this great conversion of a rich man, Zacchaeus. Publicans were some of the richest men around in those days. We're told in verse 2, behold. This is the most surprising, the most unlikely conversion that you could have imagined. There's a number of wonders about this man's conversion. There was his running ahead of the crowd to get into the tree that he might find a little vantage place to see the Lord passing by. There was his climbing. Seems rather undignified for a rich, proud man, as there is quite a number of people around. And then there was his peering, his curious interest in the Lord Jesus. Seems strange, sudden, seems last moment. And then the greatest wonder of all is that when the Lord Jesus was passing by with his cortege, that he stopped and looked right up at Zacchaeus. That's the amazing thing. Now, in verse 10, of course, you have the doctrine of all of this, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord did the seeking. And in Zacchaeus' life, you have to see the execution of that plan. He becomes an illustration to us of this very gospel truth. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We learn something of this in the two conversion stories we've had already, Saul of Tarsus. God stopped him. It wasn't Saul longing to be changed, but God stopped him. And then King Manasseh in the Old Testament, we learned that he was the maddest man for sin and iniquity. But God stopped him. And here again, Zacchaeus. He is one of the outstanding, notorious, materialistic men in society. And here is the Lord stopping him. What a wonderful salvation this is. And surely this is the story of every one of God's converts. I chose him because he first loved me. And in my madness and in my career of following the world, something happened. The Lord intervened and brought us to faith. And sometimes we have to pinch ourselves. Is this really true? I'm a Christian. I'm no longer serving the world and the flesh and the devil. I'm now a follower of Jesus, the Son of God. Sometimes you have to actually take stock. Is this real? Now, Zacchaeus' conversion teaches us that salvation is of the Lord, not man's doing. Now, in that is the hope of the gospel. And the gospel that we present is the gospel of the free, sovereign grace of God. It's not your performance, it's not your works, it's not your ability, it's not your performance. It is the stopping power of the Lord to save your soul and bring you to faith in Christ. And here is grace. It's all of God, and it's all of His purposes. And we see this in the conversion of Zacchaeus. We see this because he is the most unlikely character, the most unlikely person that would have been saved. If you had looked around that crowd, you would have seen women, young people, religious people. You would have seen travelers, people who just go about the ordinary things of life. And you might have said, well, perhaps him or her, but Zacchaeus? Not a chance. Not likely. We note this because of his lateness. He seems to have been running ahead of the crowd because he was late. And he has burned up a whole pile of opportunities to be introduced to the Lord Jesus. He's a latecomer. And he, therefore, did not deserve this special attention. And yet he's the one. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. And you might think, well, here I am today in a Christian church, and there's people have been coming for years, and I'm here just as a new kid on the block, and here I am. Could I be saved? Well, your lateness is certainly not a prevention. Your sudden interest or curiosity in the Lord is not a hindrance, but rather the Lord can save you too. Then there was his trade. That made him an unlikely character. He was this tax collector. He was also, we are told in verse 2, that he was the chief among the publicans. And if you can think it on these terms, he was sort of running a Ponzi scheme. He was a sort of a pyramid guy. He was at the top and he had all these tax collectors under him. And they were gathering in the taxes and the excesses, and they were passing it along to this man, Zacchaeus. He was the top swindler in town. Zacchaeus, did he think that he could receive some custom duty from the Lord Jesus? What was his interest in the Lord? The Lord was not carrying any cargo or any goods. He was not bartering. The Lord was the humblest, poorest man around. And yet, this man who was consumed with material things and collecting taxes, he suddenly had an interest in the Lord. And we know that he was converted. Now, what about your trade in life? It might be said of you that because of your trade and because of your business and because of your career, that there's not a chance of you being a Christian. There's not a possibility of you ever giving up or turning around your life to put things in order to live the Christian life, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Well, we learn here that the Lord can save men from all walks of life. He took Peter and John from being fishers of men. He saves politicians. He saves doctors, either doctors of the law or doctors of medicine. Luke was a physician. And mothers and fathers and children, the Lord saves from all quarters, including the Zacchaeus case. And maybe you're saying today, my business in life forbids me to be a Christian. No way. Not when the Lord stops under your tree and looks right up and calls your name. And then there was his character that made him an unlikely person. He cared less what people thought of him. These publicans were like a special caste of their own. They were a special breed of people. Many of them were born into this agency of collecting taxes. And because they were serving the Romans, they were hated by their fellow countrymen. These tax collectors were looked upon as traitors to Judaism, serving Rome, taking their money. Well, tax collecting's bad enough, but when you give it to your enemy, your oppressor, the Romans, well, you're a double traitor and a cheat and a swindler. And so these tax collectors were despised out of hand by all in society. They were hardened for the task. They were like customs people, you know. If you ever cross over the border, you very seldom find a nice customs agent, somebody who's really friendly and happy and sends you on rejoicing. Usually you go through that and you say, boy, he must have got out of bed the wrong side this morning. Or he has an awful headache. And if you get a lady, you're really in trouble. So customs people generally, well, they're sort of difficult people. And so was Zacchaeus. And I know that people can be hardened today. And there's many hardened people in this world. They're hardened by sin. They're hardened by worldliness and by pride and by their own defense and life. They've had to battle it through. And it hardens people. It hardens people. I had a phone call this week from a trucker. And he just wanted to tell me that he'd been listening in for some time to the radio broadcast, and through a number of radio preachers, he gave his life to the Lord about 3 years ago. And he said, you don't want to hear what kind of man I have been. A hardened man. And I think generally truckers, if you observe them at the truck stops, they can be hardened. They live a rough life. Long hours on the road, away from home, tempted by the things of this world. But you know, the Lord Jesus can save the hardest heart. He saves sinners. What did the text tell us? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, hopeless, down the chute. And you know, back in chapter 18, verse 27, it says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And Zacchaeus is a living example of the men or women that we would write off and say, there's not a hope. The Lord, in his sovereign power, saves. There's another thing about Zacchaeus that made him unlikely, was his wealth. Tax collectors were notorious for their overcharging, their excesses, and for their luxurious living. They were the richest in town. And as I said, many were born into this. And so they inherited the wealth of parents, and they continued on the customs work of gathering taxes, and they became exceeding wealthy. And so to be living in a palace while others are in slums or in very meager fashion lifestyle, these men were bolstered with their pride and importance. But here we see that Zacchaeus was brought to a wonderful saving position. What hope this gives today. What hope it gives for preaching the gospel. What hope it gives to tell any man that Jesus will receive him and accept him into the family of God. What hope to pray on for that unlikely soul, maybe a son or daughter or family member, out of Christ and hardened and following the world and its riches and all its ways. We must never, never count a soul this side of eternity a hopeless case. They can be saved, and we can even take hope in your case today. Whatever it is, there's hope as we look at the life and the conversion of Zacchaeus. When our Lord Jesus came seeking and saving, Zacchaeus was a candidate. And you're a candidate today. You're a candidate. He has you here to hear his word. And he will look into your heart and look into your soul and say, come down, come down. In some ways, you could say that for Zacchaeus to be a Christian, it was a come down. Had to come down from all his pomp and his pride and his importance and take Jesus into his house and into his life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come down from your pride at the call of the Savior? Another way that we see this as an operation of grace is the providential timing. The Lord's timing leaves absolutely no room for doubt. This man was moved by curiosity, but in his life it was the wrong time. He did not decide, say, well, today I will be saved and today I will seek salvation. No, he had other plans. He was in Jericho, most likely on business, and saw the crowd and went running and climbed the tree and waited just to get a little look at this teacher going by, and then he would go back to his business. But his curiosity became the very linchpin to his conversion. And while he had other plans, the Lord's timing was perfect. You see, in this account, the Lord Jesus was passing through Jericho for the very last time. This was leading to the Passover week. Our Lord was going to Jerusalem, and while he would be in and out of Jerusalem, he would never pass through Jericho again. And this would be the last opportunity for Jerichoites to see and hear and look unto the Lord. And so you can see God's perfect timing in Jericho, in passing through at this time in Zacchaeus' conversion. And God has a time. God has a time. He had a time in my life when he called me. He has a time for everyone whom he will save and redeem. And there's a time when you must make haste and be saved. I wonder today, do you hear the Savior's call? We need to pray for God to show work. And we need to preach to that hardened heart that they will see the Lord.
Our final word today is from the Psalm 139, verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The Psalm 139 is the psalm of God's omnipresence. He is present everywhere. The psalmist here talks about being in the depths of the sea, and even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The sea is a place of danger, and it is a place where many lose their direction. But there the Lord will lead, and there the Lord will hold us. So today be confident that the Lord, who is omnipresent and all present everywhere, will be your guide and will hold you up. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.